Welcome to Foster Carolinas, connecting the Carolinas to voices of foster care.
L-O-T, the place I want to be. Come and sit down, have a foster chat with me. Podcast bridging the campus east of east.
All right, guys, welcome to the podcast, Foster Carolinas. And today we have a very special guest. And I'm just going to jump in and let Jason introduce himself.
All right. Hey, good to be with you, Susanna. I'm Jason Weber, and my wife and I have been married 27 years, and we met in college, and we went into inner city ministry right after college. We got married 6 days after graduation. We decided we were going to wait until we graduated from college to get married, so we waited 6 days. Got married, went into inner city ministry. And we learned pretty quickly, moving into a neighborhood and working with the children and families in that neighborhood in Denver. Pretty quickly, we realized that over half the kids we were working with on a weekly basis had been touched by foster care at some point in their lives. And so we eventually became foster parents at 25 and 26 years old, had no idea what we were doing. And we fostered for 10 years. And we saw some kids come and go, but five of them ended up staying. And so our five kids, ranging in age now from 22 down to 13, that's our crew. So we just had our youngest two graduate eighth grade and are headed to high school. So giddy up.
Oh, that sounds like fun. What is your position in serving children in foster care now? And I guess you've already answered the question, how long have you been there? Cause y'all been doing it since you were 25. So, but what's your position right now?
Yeah. So I work, as the national director of More Than Enough, with the Christian Alliance for Orphans. And our whole goal is to help communities work together, to help the body of Christ work together, to make a bigger difference in foster care in their community than they can make by themselves. So our whole team is built around coming around folks who know that, they could do bigger things if they were collaborating, if they were working together with others. But sometimes it's hard to know how to do that well, and how to do that in a way that sustains and actually lasts. Right. And so our whole goal is to help communities to do that.
And you have come alongside Lisa These Carolinas. We've just had our third symposium, and where we get judges and social workers and foster parents and guardian ad litems together, and we all talk about the issues that are going on. And even the state of North Carolina has sent representation from DHHS, and they actually have just asked us, hey, would you do this in every region? But that really, we couldn't have done it without you helping us. And I mean, you didn't tell us what to do. You just kind of helped me decide how to do it in a way that would be beneficial for everyone. And honestly, it's been the highlight of the year. Everybody that comes loves it. The judges love it. We had the DA come. It was just a couple of weeks ago, and that was huge to have him there and answer questions that I wouldn't have even thought of. But foster parents wondering, hey, I've seen bio mom or bio dad in the paper. Why are they not getting charged, or why are they not serving time, or whatever? And he was able to answer that. And so thank you. Kudos to you guys and you for helping us with that, because that's been a huge thing for us to do, that symposium.
Well, I had a pastor that I very much respect, and he has been a foster and adoptive dad. And one time he said something to me that has stuck with me. He said, "He who convenes leads." And I think about that all the time. And what you are doing there is such an important role, that, you know, all the people that you mentioned that came to the table, they've been doing really good work for a really long time. But I'm guessing that they are very excited to have the opportunity to do it with others and mm-hmm. to make a bigger impact together. But in order for that to happen, there has to be somebody who is willing to convene. And it's not about it's not about telling everybody, hey, here's what you all should do. Here's how to, you know, it's just bringing them together, and in bringing them together, in convening them, you're leading. And so we're just really thrilled about the work that you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. I think we've already asked or answered, why did you first start serving this population? It sounds like you were doing inner city ministry and saw how much foster care had to do with that. Is that correct?
At least in the community we were in, of the kids we were working with, that's not necessarily true across every community, but in the community we were working in, yeah, we ended up working with a lot of kids. And for a lot of people, they sort of get passionate about foster care because of contact with kids. But for us, that was partially true, but it was really also that we were developing friendships with biological families and families that were in some cases really struggling. In some cases, families that were not doing great things right at home with their kids, but we still were in a position where our goal was to love them, because that's what Jesus had called us to do. And so our passion for this space is very much tied to whole families and the restoration of families, as well as kids getting to safe places.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, it's really amazing for you to be a foster parent and to watch a child's life change. What is even more amazing is when you let God use you to change that bio parent and work through you. Because when I've seen that happen, it's like, that's just so much bigger than you could ever dream. And I think that's really what God wants, is he wants the whole family to be, you know, back together and walking with him. And man, when that happens, and doesn't happen as many times as I would hope it would happen, but man, when that happens, it's like, wow. Anyway, so.
Yeah, if anybody on the planet ought to be passionate about broken things becoming whole again, it ought to be us in the church. We ought to be the ones that believe that more than anybody, that we serve a God who delights in taking broken things and making them whole again.
Absolutely. So, and what made y'all want to continue to serve this population? What fueled y'all in this fight for children in foster care or vulnerable children?
So there's a book that you're probably pretty familiar with, a book series. It's, you know, if you give a mouse a cookie or if you give a pig a pancake, mm-hmm. right? And so if you give a pig a pancake, then they're going to want milk. And if you give them milk, they're going to want this, right? And the whole book goes, all these things, one thing leads to another. That's kind of, I think that's really a common experience for people in the foster care space, is you say yes to one thing and it leads to another thing and it leads to another thing and it leads to another thing. So when, you know, we had some smaller yeses that even got us to the point of foster parenting. And then once we were foster parenting, we thought, well, here's the destination. You know, this is what we were supposed to be doing. But then we realized even in our very first case of our twins that lasted 3.5 years, in the midst of that, God was really working on our hearts, because we were working with because they were medically fragile, we were working with a lot of different professionals, not only social workers and judges and lawyers but also physical therapists and doctors and nurses and all these different folks that were involved in their lives, in and out of our house, all of this stuff. And the thing that kept coming to our minds is, gosh, what would happen if the church were really, really present in this space? What could that look like? And how could we use our lives to help that to happen? So just us saying yes to foster parenting led us to realize there was a bigger assignment for us, that we were really supposed to be helping come alongside the body of Christ to engage in this area in more significant ways. And so that's how we ended up doing that.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite story that you've experienced from holding your position?
There's a lot. I mean, we serve, I mean, I tell people all the time that I get to work with some of the most incredible people around the country that you'll ever meet. And so it just to hear from folks all the time that are doing unbelievable things. One of the ones that I think is really encouraging to me is, there is a group called BCS Together, Bryan College Station, BCS stands for, in Texas, outside of Houston. It's where Texas A&M is. And this group of folks They started gathering the folks together, churches in the community, organizations, and began talking about what they could do together that they couldn't do separately. And one of the folks that got involved in that work, and she began volunteering, she began getting involved, she realized pretty quickly that that there were kids that were sleeping in offices at night, social work offices. And it was kind of devastating to her. Like, she really was like, this is not okay. And as she began to see that, and they began thinking and brainstorming and praying, and her heart was moved to, you know, to just figure out what they could do. They looked at a lot of different options. And then eventually she and her husband ended up donating a rental property for use as an emergency shelter. But the thing was, it was an empty home, and so it wasn't ready to have kids come and stay, right? And largely this was going to be teenagers. And so what BCS Together did is they had a interior designer who volunteered her time, and she said, I'll create design boards for every room in this house. And so then they put those design boards with a wish list on Facebook. And within a week, the community, different parts of the community, one preschool, you know, this, the wives, now you got to follow this, cause it's like, you know, sort of that, my cousin's brother's neighbor's daughter kind of thing, but yeah. it's the wives of the football coaches at Texas A&M. They adopted a room in this house. And so what that means to adopt a room is they bought all the stuff, and there was no used stuff. It was all new. They bought all this stuff and furnished this house. There was lawyers locally that they had asked the lawyers to look for liability insurance. Obviously, that's a big thing when you're opening up an emergency shelter. You need liability insurance. Well, they had done the work of finding the liability insurance, and it was kind of hard to find. But on the day that they found it, they called and said, hey, we found the liability insurance, and we're so passionate about what you guys are doing, we've decided we're going to pay for it. So there's a law firm paid for the liability insurance for this. So this is an example of an entire community coming together saying, hey, here's a gap in foster care. We're not going to stand and point out a pothole that somebody else needs to fill. We're bringing a bucket of asphalt, and we're going to fill it ourselves. We're going to fill this pothole ourselves as a community, and we're going to come together to do it. And I talked a few weeks ago to a young professional woman who volunteers and shows up every Thursday night. And she brings pizza, and the teens that are staying there at that particular time. And this place is beautiful. Like, it's really cool how they did it. But she is having pizza with these teens every week. And she is there again, still the community coming around kids in foster care. You know, we know that good things are happening, that foster care movement is happening when people that aren't paid to care are caring, right? For so long, we've said, well, all those people that are getting paid to do this aren't doing their job. And until we say, hey, that's an impossible job. There isn't enough people we could pay to do that. It's going to take our entire community to get to more than enough. That's when things really start to change.
Well, I don't even know if you know this, but I have heard you on a podcast talking about that house. And we actually have opened, we are about to open our second house that's very similar. It's called the Hummingbird House. Ours is different. The social workers have to stay at the house. It's like an Airbnb. I talked to those guys out there in Texas to see how they did it. Of course, we're in the state of North Carolina, so the rules and regulations are all different. But just know that was part of my inspiration. I was like, oh my gosh, Jason Weber. Like, everywhere I turned, people were talking about these kind of houses. And so we will open up our second one. We opened up one in August, and we'll have our second one in June. And so and that was partly because I remember you talking on that podcast about that group in Texas, and I'm like, we can do this. This is not hard.
That is so fun. That is fantastic. That's
fantastic. Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that or not, but yeah.
No, that was wild. I did not.
So, how can other people get involved or support you where you are? How can they support More Than Enough and help you guys in what y'all are doing?
Yeah. Well, we've got an incredible team of folks around the country that are, you know, we call ourselves the More Than Enough support team. And our whole goal is to support you wherever you are in your community to help you work together with others. What we like to say a lot is that us and our friends want to help you and your friends work together to help kids and families before, during, and beyond foster care. And that's what we're here to do. To start that journey, you can go to morethanenoughtogether.org. That's morethanenoughtogether.org. There's resources there. There's different ways of connecting to us, but learning more about what it would take to work together with others to transform foster care where you live.
That's awesome. And since you are a foster dad, can you give a shout out of why, if somebody's listening and they're kind of on the fence about becoming a foster parent, why should they say yes?
Well, ultimately, the only reason you should say yes is if it's something that, that the Lord is inviting you into. And the thing that I would say is, you know, I don't think that you necessarily, you know, should say yes to foster parenting necessarily. I think you should say yes to caring for vulnerable children. I think you don't have an option there. I think Scripture is very clear. You don't have an option about saying yes to vulnerable children. And you do that in whatever capacity you feel like you can do right now. And maybe foster parenting is the thing right now. Maybe that's in the cards later. Maybe that's not in the cards at all. But I would say to just the guys out there, this is not something, you know, this is not a really nice pet project for your wife to do. This is not, this is something that God has instructed all of us in his word. It's been very clear that we are supposed to set aside. Deuteronomy 24 talks about setting aside a portion of your field for the widow and the orphan and for the foreigner. And so it is baked into the very fabric of society that we should set aside a portion of who we are, no matter what you do, whether you're a software engineer or a football coach or whatever you are, there is something that you have. There is something that you can do that can make a difference in a child's life. Maybe that's foster care, foster parenting. Maybe that's something else. But whatever it is, do it. Say yes.
Well, Jason Weber, thank you so much for being on the podcast to talk more about foster care. Thank CAFO for what y'all are doing. And of course, More Than Enough. My dream for North Carolina and every state, honestly, is to have More Than Enough as well. And so I love that we are totally aligned there. But thank you for taking time out of your day to be on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you. So excited about what you guys are doing. Podcast Bridging the Campus
East to the East. Were you inspired by something you heard today? Well, we want to encourage you to make the next step, whatever that is. Everyone can do something for children in foster care. If you're not sure where to start, go to our website at www.lotcarolinas.com and see what you can do.